Awesome. All right. We're into a series called Your Best Life. Who's been enjoying our series, Your Best Life? And I've been looking at Psalm 103. And one of the greatest ways you can impact your life is to take up a spirit of praise. Yeah. Let me say that again. One of the greatest ways you can impact your life is to take up a spirit of praise. And so praise opens up areas of your life to the power of the Almighty God. It creates avenues for faith to rise within you where there's no faith presently. What did God say? Sing, O barren. And so we have to engage. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but that's why we've got to engage. And so David starts this psalm by giving praise to his Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he repeats it, and forget not all his benefits. There are five benefits in having a relationship with God. I'm going to give them to you that come from Psalm 103. We've already looked at the first three. Andrea did a great job, I hear, last week on redemption. Let's give Andrea a hand this morning. For I was over at C3 Langford, and Langford will never be the same again. I don't know that I'll ever get invited back, actually, but hey, no. Not true. They really said it was a word for their church, so that was good. I don't know if you can listen to that message over there, but anyway, moving on, because we're on Psalm 103. Five benefits. The first one that David mentions is that we are forgiven as far as east is west. And in the same sentence, he says we're healed from all our diseases. The third one, he redeems us, which Andrew spoke on last week. And today I want to talk about crowns before we finish next week on being satisfied in our life. That's a benefit, being satisfied. That's a huge issue in today's world. And so all these things are part of the doctrine of God. And so we've been looking at that over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So the fourth benefit mentioned here, and we do have the PowerPoint for this. It's not working, Dave. You'll have to take over for me. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? So if we can put that up on the slide there. Who redeems you and crowns, with tender mercies. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. I want to ask a question. He crowns us. What is a crown? A crown that God gives us. And all through Scripture, crowns represent authority. They are given by God when we receive him into our life. We are crowned. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are crowned. And so David states, for all the women in the house, you're princesses, and all the men, you're kings. Okay, that's just for the... Just so you're all clear. Queens, sorry, yeah. What did I say? Princesses. Okay, yeah, queens, yeah, that's better. I'm glad you correct me, because I do this all the time, and those of you who are used to me, you just get it anyway. For those of you who have to say something, my family, then I'm used to it. David states in Psalm 21 how he rejoices in his salvation, having a crown of pure gold placed on his head. Mordecai, who along with Esther saved the Jewish people from total destruction, was given a great golden crown. The 24 elders in Revelation who sit around the throne of God offering praises all wear crowns. You can look it up, Revelation 4:2. Jesus wears a golden crown as he reaps the righteous on earth in Revelation 14. And so a golden crown, for those of us that are in right standing with God, who knows it's good to be righteous in his sight? We've been talking about that so far this week, this series. We're forgiven and we are redeemed through right living, through obeying the word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. We live for God. Always goes quiet when I say some of these. You know, it's only four words. We live for? We live for ourselves second. Oh dear, did you have to say that? We live for God. We desire to do his will and obey his word. Amen? See, the alternative is to be cursed through our own choice to do what we want rather than live by his word. In this respect, God gives us authority to walk with authority when we live for him, in right living with him through the word of God in our lives. Jesus walked with authority. He taught with authority that the people were astonished at how good he was. In fact, if you come with me, I'm going to look it up. Matthew 7 and verse 28. Matthew 7 and verse 28. It actually says here, after Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. So there's a distinction there. You can have a place of authority, but actually not have authority. And so after Jesus, all this is happening, and the crowd are like, there's something about this man. What is it? It is what we carry rather than what we know. If you've got a pen or your phone, write it down. It is who is on us rather than what knowledge we have. It's our relationship. And there is power in the name of Jesus. All authority is on him and through him. Just like David, Mordecai, and the elders around the throne, we have the same authority. Who's glad we have authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? We have authority. Say it with me. I have authority. Say it to yourself. I have authority. And so we have his authority as Christians. I'm not sure you're getting this yet. See, number one, we are crowned with authority. All authority is given. Did you hear me? All authority is given. The Great Commission, Jesus said to the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus knew that he had been given authority. Authority is given by God alone. You can have a position and a title and have no authority. Jesus knew the disciples had authority. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He gave them authority. Matthew 28, 19. And so authority does not come from the way that we talk. Authority does not come from the way we carry ourselves. It doesn't come from the image that we want to display. It doesn't come from how big our muscles are or aren't. Jesus was the shepherd who became the lamb. He did not walk as a know-it-all, but as a loving, kind Savior. But he had great authority. He crowns us. He crowns us. Everyone knew that came into contact with Jesus that he had authority. And sometimes people without title or position have great authority as well. It is whom you walk with and whom you are accountable to which will increase or decrease your authority. I'm not sure you're getting this yet. You see, there's this story in the Bible, and you can go there if you like a bit later or look it up. It's the story of Joseph. And his brothers had given him up for dead by selling him as a slave. But God was with Joseph, it says in the Bible. And it repeatedly says throughout his journey of all the years of hardship that God, the Lord, however it said, was with him. His heart was for the people. You see, there is a theme throughout the Bible of when our heart is aligned to God, that our heart is for the people. And I want to bring that out this morning as we go along. The Ishmaelite traders sold Joseph to Potiphar, one of the personal staff of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him greatly in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar gave him charge of all the administration for the palace, the Bible says. Even Potiphar noticed, here's an Egyptian king, even Potiphar noticed how the Lord was with him. Potiphar puts Joseph in prison after the act of passion from his own wife was turned on him. Who thinks that's a pretty bad, scoundrelous, terrible thing to happen to you? You go from some sort of power to now you're locked away in a dungeon. And the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he ends up running the entire prison for the chief jailer. After a number of years, Pharaoh has his dream about fat cows and skinny, ugly cows. And God was with Joseph, who interpreted the dream for Pharaoh and the upcoming famine across the land. Because God was with Joseph, he kept vast numbers of people alive during the famine and his entire family alive for years during the famine. Because God was with Joseph, he reconciled his brothers to himself. Because God was with Joseph, he gained the favor of Pharaoh and his family were able to live in Egypt whilst the famine continued. And because God was with Joseph, even after he himself had died, his family were able to live in Egypt and eat the food he himself had stored up because God was with Joseph. Who are we with, people? Is God with you? Is he really with you? Are you crowned with his authority so that you can affect other people's lives and not even knowing it sometimes affecting a whole community or even a whole area? I'm glad we have Leap into Spring Conference just for that alone, because we have authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church cannot be distinguished. We are crowned with authority. So second, you might just move along for me. Why does God crown us? Sin reigned in our lives. Death reigned. Who's glad that death doesn't reign in our lives anymore? Anyone here this morning? And so we are in right standing with God through his Son and what he's done for us on the cross. And so the moment we accept Jesus, grace comes to us. In receiving his abundant grace and a gift of righteousness, I am crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. I know it's old-fashioned, but do it anyway. I am crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who got a bit of a giggle out of that? Don't you love some of the terminology in the Bible? But it's important. See, it's not what we think, which is actually the title of my message. It's not what we think. It's who we are in Christ that makes us worthy of his crown. If we are to be anything like Christ, then we must adopt some of his nature. Yes? And that nature is crowned in loving kindness and tender mercies. We may have won some trophies. We may be an elite sports person, even a president of a nation. But what crowns me is who I belong with, not the position I hold. How good is God? Equal in the sight of God. So I want to ask you, who do you belong with? That's right, Susan. We belong with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm not sure you're getting this yet. In February 1993, just wait for my signal, please, AJ. Mrs. Johnson's only son, Larriman Bird, who was 20, was shot in the head by 16-year-old Israel after an argument at a party in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Israel, who was involved with drugs and gangs, was tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years in prison. He served 17 before being released. He now lives back in the neighborhood where he grew up next door to the mother of the young man he murdered. Let's show us the picture. Mrs. Johnson said she originally wanted justice and to see Israel locked up for what he had done. She said, "My son was gone. I was angry and hated this boy, hated his mother. The murder was like a tsunami, shock, disbelief, hatred, anger, hatred, blame, hatred." I think hatred was quite prominent. "I wanted him to be caged up like the animal he was." That's what happened initially. And I think for all of us, that would be probably our reaction. But then, this is a newspaper article that I found, because it's only 2 years ago. But then the 59-year-old teacher and a devout Christian. Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. This is just amazing. The 59-year-old teacher and devout Christian decided she wanted to meet Israel at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. She said she felt compelled to see if there was a way in which she could forgive her son's killer. At first, he refused, but 9 months later, he changed his mind. Israel said he was shocked by the fact that she wanted to meet him. He said, "I believe the first thing she said to me was, 'Look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now.'" And he says, "I was befuddled. I was like, what is this?" The pair met regularly after that. When Israel was released from prison around 18 months ago, Mrs. Johnson introduced him to her landlord, who with her blessing invited Israel to move into the building. A mother whose only child was shot dead has shown the ultimate forgiveness by inviting her son's killer to live next door. Have a look at the next photo. Mrs. Johnson said, "Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about the other person," she says. "Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me." Mary Johnson even wears a necklace with a two-sided locket. And on one side are photos of herself and her son, and on the other has a picture of Israel. And Israel to this day admits that he struggles with the extraordinary situation that he finds himself in. Who believes in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is a transition here where this young man is probably going to go from the depths of hell to the throne of heaven. Through one woman's grace, loving kindness and tender mercy. See, over not under, it's not what you think. God crowns us. God crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. That means I need an abundance of grace every day. Am I the only one that needs an abundance of grace every day here? Someone's going to tick me off pretty soon. It's a given. And I'm a bit of a neat freak, so that makes me get ticked off as well if stuff's been flying around. Just one of those things. I tried to get over it, but then I quite like it too, so I just keep it. See, it's a character trait of belonging. Let me just get back to the subject of belonging to God. It may be that some believers don't think they need a lot of grace. Now, this is serious, and we've all observed this. When they received Christ, they knew they needed His grace, but not so much now. Could be 10 years, could be 20 years down the track. Whatever. So you can read your Bible and pray, but have little grace. You can know it, but not actually have that ongoing heart relationship. We need fresh grace every day. right standing with God, the gift of righteousness. There's got to be a graciousness in our spirit for what Christ has done so that he can work in our life through even one of the worst situations imaginable. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ do we have right standing with God. Now, having said that, righteousness requires repentance. Who knows, as I've been saying through this series, that we can't just do our own thing all the time. We still got to live by the word of God. And so having said all this about grace, our right standing with God is a result of each of us individually walking in the ways of the Lord. When we die with Christ, we live with him. Romans talks about this. And the theme through Romans is we're dead to sin and alive to God. And so his Holy Spirit picks us up on his behaviors and practices because we are carrying his presence in our lives on a daily basis. Knowledge will not do it. I've known some extremely knowledgeable men and women who are a long way from Christ because they're not affected in relationship with him. They just know it. That's the difference between a Pharisee and the Jesus speaking. The only way we reign with Jesus is to repent and just recognize that we need him every moment of our days. In Revelation 5:9, they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." In Revelation 5:10, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth." We can reign on. We can reign where? Not just in heaven, but we can reign on earth. Now, this is interesting. We are kings and priests. Or queens, thank you. See, a king reigns. Would you agree? No, not all of you. Anyway, when a king reigns, thanks, Claire. We have been given authority. If you're a queen, you've been given authority. A priest connects people to God. Say it with me, a priest connects people to? This connects back to the Great Commission. So God wants you to reign over sin and death in this life and help other people to reign over sin and death. And the reason we can reign on this earth is because we know God has crowned us. And the reason Jesus walked with authority and power was because he knew he'd been given it by the Father. We are over and not under, not because we have achieved this or that, but because we are helping others to reign over sin and death in their lives. How important are life groups in this context? We are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Our Father has invested authority in us to represent him to the clients. Did you hear me? I want to say it one more time. Our Father has invested authority in us to represent him to the clients. That's why he has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We are crowned with authority. We are crowned to represent the clients. I'm not sure you've quite got it yet. The third thing, exactly what are we crowned with? You see, over not under, it's not what we think. It's not just kindness, it's loving kindness, and it's not just mercy, it's tender mercy. Say it with me, it's not just kindness, it's loving kindness. It's not just mercy, it's tender mercy. See, the second Hebrew word for crowns means surrounds. God surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Our God is famous for mercy. He loves to be merciful. Even on the cross, he was merciful, right? It should give us an idea of how much mercy we should have. Now, I know we're all different and we have all different personalities, but the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God should still have mercy come into our lives. We may not have it as much as some people who have a gift of mercy, but we should all have mercy. And so we need to be the most merciful people on the face of the earth because we have received mercy. He has removed our transgressions from us. Anyone pleased about that? He has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And therefore, blessing his name is how David starts, and this is how he ends as well, should be the first and last thing that we do. We are grateful for the presence of God in our lives and that we have right living through obeying his word and allowing one another to do the right thing in God's sight by the word of God. Even God's throne is called, by the way, a mercy seat. David understood he had received an abundance of grace. Who knows that David needed grace? A gift of right standing with God. The authority David had was given by the Father. When we walk in humility, kindness and mercy, then we will have authority to overcome sin and death in our lives. How we walk and talk is so important. Turn to your neighbor and say, be careful how you talk. No, I'm serious. This is a really interesting point. And I'll finish with this point, more than likely. You see, it is quite concerning and sad, I guess, observing the way many Christian people talk without any thought to the effect on others, particularly those who may not know him yet. See, it stems back to, who remembers the Tower of Babel? It stems back to arrogance. Jesus walked in humility over sin and death as the Lamb to represent loving kindness and tender mercies to everyone. God has crowned us. He took the crown off his Son and he gave it to us. Wow! We've got time. Mark 15. Come with me. Mark 15. Verse 16. The soldiers took him into their headquarters and called out the entire battalion. They dressed him in a purple robe and made a crown of long, sharp thorns and put it on his head. Then they saluted, yelling, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they beat him on the head with a stick, spat on him and dropped to their knees in mock worship. And when they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again, and they led him away to be crucified. There are approximately, it's estimated, 100 soldiers represented in this ordeal before he goes to the cross. The King of the universe took our crown on his head for us. What a gift. He took all the pain, he took all the suffering, he took it all for us. The 24 elders in Revelation, we cast our crowns every day toward Jesus because he is worthy. We are over, not under, through our ongoing walk with God and through connecting people to Jesus through his loving kindness and tender mercies. We are crowned with authority. Say it with me. We are crowned with authority. We are crowned to represent his clients. And lastly, we are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Why don't we stand on our feet this morning? Father, today, I pray that we would recognize the gift that you have given us through your Son. We thank you that we're crowned with your authority. Lord, we determine as a church today, why don't we just lift out our hands to God. We determine as a church today to live by your authority, in your authority. And if that means I need to change somewhat, Lord, if I need to change some of my behavior or some of the way I speak, Lord, help me, because I want to represent your clients. I want to represent your clients, Lord. In 2 weeks' time, Lord, I want to bring someone to our Leap into Spring conference that can be transformed by the power of the living God. Lord, we thank you that you've crowned us and given us authority to represent you. It's a humbling thing, but also, Lord, what an important job. Lord, I pray we won't underestimate what it is to represent your clients. Let us bring glory and honor to your name, that we may join the elders and say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. We're going to have a Wellard meeting, I believe, in about half an hour's time. Look forward to that as well. That'll be here in the auditorium. Sheila, it's going to be in the youth room. Okay. Fantastic. Well, Wellard people, see you in the youth room. God bless.